Today on Compassion Radio.
I was attacked by street gangs who were looking for Christians to harm, and they ran me over on motorcycles and grabbed my purse. This was at the same time that they were firebombing churches and people were being killed. And I had some major lacerations and a severe concussion. But it didn't make any difference in my call or Chris's call because we knew that the Lord had called us there. And, I mean, that was it. It didn't change anything. It didn't scare me or anything. We just knew that the Lord wanted us to continue working there. And that's the word the Lord had called us. So it really didn't change anything.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Today, Bram and his wife Sandy connect with Chris and Faith Creech, a married couple who spent many years pastoring before being called to serve in ministry in East Asia. Now having returned to the United States, God has called them to be mentors to families in ministry who may be facing some of the very real issues that often come up as they seek to serve the body of Christ. This is Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of that conversation.
On Compassion Radio, my wife is joining me in studio today. The reason we're sitting around the table is because Sandy and one half of the other party in this conversation did some great work together in Africa. So, friends, I'd like to introduce you to the Creeches. We have Chris and Faith. Welcome to Compassion Radio, friends.
Oh, thank you, Bram. We really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you, and delighted Sandy's there, too.
So I'm going to turn it over to Sandy just for a minute to make an introduction about the common experience that she and Faith had with the Asmara conference that happened in Mombasa.
Well, I am so excited to introduce to you Faith and her husband, Chris Creech. I enjoyed so much being able to serve with Faith in Kenya with Asmara retreats, and we had a great time leading worship together. And I got to tell you, she is the most flexible woman I have ever met.
Ain't it the truth?
When it comes to being ready for whatever God throws at us or whatever the enemy tries to throw at us in regards to bringing people into worship. And she persevered through a very ugly keyboard situation, and we made it through. But I'm so thankful to have met Faith and be her friend now and encouraged by her through the time we were in Kenya. I tell you, I was very impressed with the way God has used you and your husband, Faith, in the ministry. And I
thanks, Sandy.
I want to know your whole story now alongside of your husband, because I heard your side of the story in some instances, but great to hear your husband also.
And I'll do the quick cuts between the two of you. So first of all, I would like, if you could, Faith, introduce to us your path to the ministry. Did you find it through your husband, or was God already moving you around and you met somewhere along the way?
Well, I can say when I was a little girl, I grew up as a pastor's daughter, and I'd always wanted to be a missionary to the Far East. So that was always kind of a calling on my heart. But then when I met Chris, I knew he was going to be a pastor, so that call kind of went by the wayside. So then we decided to be pastors couples together, and just being a missionary, just I kind of forgot about that. And then the Lord called us to be missionaries to Singapore later on in life after we left the pastorate. And so there was my call on my heart to be a missionary was fulfilled. So the Lord brought that about in my later years. That's kind of how I got to go in the mission field.
So you went to the mission field after having had a career in the pastorate, spent time overseas, after you raised your daughter even. How was it as a mom to leave her behind, begin your new life overseas when you decided to do that?
That was very difficult because she was married. And she was a young mom herself. When we left to go overseas, she had a 2-year-old little boy and a 1-month-old boy. So that was very difficult for us because my daughter and I, well, all of us as a family are very close, but especially my daughter and I are very, very close. And so that was the most difficult thing for us to do, especially having 2 little grandbabies. we had lived just a block away from each other before we moved, and so I got to see my grandson almost every day. And then when the one-month-old was born, of course, that was very difficult to leave them. Most missionaries, when they go over, of course, they take their children with them, and so ours is, you know, having a grown daughter, we couldn't take her with us. So I think that was the hardest part of going overseas.
Faith, I think about the scriptures that talks about us being living sacrifices, about us putting ourselves on the altar at all times. For missionaries, you're putting more than just yourself on the altar. You're putting an entire lifestyle and the people you love, the people that you would think that you were supposed to pour into day by day the rest of your lives, you're putting all of them on the altar as well. Now, did you see fruit from that? Did God do something that only He could do because you made that sacrifice?
Yes, I would say so, because Chris and I only had one child. I was unable to have more children, so our daughter was a real miracle of the Lord. And we always wanted more children. And so when we went overseas, my main job was being a mentor to women. I mentored women in seminary, and I mentored single women, and I mentored pastors' wives and missionary wives. And so these women got to be very, very close to me. And so they became my adopted daughters. So the Lord really, in my later years, gave me all these women as daughters. So I had all my adopted daughters that I never thought I would have. The Lord was very, very good to me and fulfilled my love of having children that I never thought I would have.
I got to add something. She's got tears in her eyes right now.
I know.
You would not believe what I saw over there, how she just blossomed in that situation. She's got so many Asian women friends, it's unbelievable. And they just kind of follow her along the way a duckling follows the duck mom. It's just really neat to watch. But anyway, I had to add that. Sorry.
And I was able to be firsthand witness to those kind of relationships that she builds so easily and helps people to feel so comfortable with her, pulling stories out of them just by the way she encourages. So, Faith, I'm excited to hear that God continued to use you at a point in your life when most of us as women think, oh, we're kind of done. We've raised our children, and we're in those times of our lives that we're now becoming the older woman in the area. I don't want to say too old, because I don't want to put myself or you in that category. But,
well,
you know, we're the mentor women. We're the women who have done life. We've done our adventures in life. And that's kind of where I was when I joined with the Asmira team as well. I was at the point of thinking, I've been out there and done the adventures already, and now it's time to send my children out into that.
Right.
You still had something to do for the kingdom. So I want to know, what would you say to women that are wanting to do work for the kingdom, who think, I've run out of time. I've already put my time in as kingdom builders in my children, in my local church. What would I do? How do I get out there and start a new mission? How do you encourage people to do that?
I would just say, first of all, women are never too old to work for the Lord. There's never an age limit. Right now, this is the most fulfilling time of my life. Because of my age and my experience, I can help women on the mission field. I can help pastors' wives and missionary wives, and that brings me a great deal of joy and fulfillment. So I don't think there's an age limit. Like you said, women who have children that are leaving the home or have left the home, that's the best time for them to be serving the Lord. There is absolutely no age limit at all.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Friends, since 1999, Compassion Radio and its partners, that means you, have been doing something extraordinary. We've reached out in very practical ways to save the lives of abandoned babies in South Africa. Now, there are orphanages all over the world. Why this one? Well, because of a singularly amazing family and a marvelous transformational idea. And the idea was this: make it easier to save a life than to waste a life. Well, on the surface, that sounds like a ridiculous mission statement, but consider this. At the end of the 20th century, at the height of the AIDS crisis in South Africa, dozens of babies were being abandoned by mothers with no hope each and every month. Being infected and outcast, often addicted to drugs and unable to afford to care for their newborn, and facing arrest if they tried to give up their babies to authorities, the desperate took desperate measures. They were convinced their babies would die anyway. Until, that is, the Berea Baptist Church and the Allen family made that radical statement and did something about the crisis. Since the day they cut a hole in their church wall and put an incubator in it, they've rescued thousands of infants from certain death. No longer would a hopeless mother have to add murder to her burden of guilt. You, friends, had compassion on both mother and child through your generous giving. I'm asking you again for it now. The reason is obvious. There's still a need. And the work of Door of Hope keeps getting better. The new Hope Village is under construction, and when it's done, hundreds of kids not adopted will be raised in family groups in a nurturing community with its own playgrounds, church, elementary, and trade schools. Door of Hope showed us how to save a life once. Now they're showing us how to save lives time and time again, and as a result, saving generations. Will you give generously this year? It's our 20th anniversary of this project. And here's the best part. One of our generous Compassion Radio partners is providing a special matching challenge grant. If you give, they will match your gift, but only during the current month. $4,000 has been set aside for the special matching grant for the month of February. I'm asking you to make sure that every dime of that challenge grant is at least doubled or multiplied many times over. So give today. Here are four ways you can do just that. Call 1-800-868-2478 or go online to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift. Or send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And lastly, and maybe best of all, you can donate in under a minute by simply texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you, friends, for helping Door of Hope save a whole new generation of precious children with your generous gift today.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I'm excited to hear that God continued to use you at a point in your life when most of us as women think, oh, we're kind of done. We've raised our children and we're in those times of our lives that we're now becoming the older woman in the area. I don't want to say too old because I don't want to put myself or you in that category. But,
well,
you know, we're the mentor women. We're the women who have done life. We've done our adventures in life. And that's kind of where I was when I joined with the Asmira team as well. I was at the point of thinking, I've been out there and done the adventures already, and now it's time to send my children out into that.
Right.
You still had something to do for the kingdom. So I want to know, what would you say to women that are wanting to do work for the kingdom who think, I've run out of time. I've already put my time in as kingdom builders in my children, in my local church. What would I do? How do I get out there and start a new mission? How do you encourage people to do that?
I would just say, first of all, women are never too old to work for the Lord. There's never an age limit. Right now, this is the most fulfilling time of my life. Because of my age and my experience, I can help women on the mission field. I can help pastors' wives and missionary wives, and that brings me a great deal of joy and fulfillment. So I don't think there's an age limit. Like you said, women who have children that are leaving the home or have left the home, that's the best time for them to be serving the Lord. There is absolutely no age limit at all.
Okay, Chris, I got a cross question for you as a man. How did you feel when you discovered you had stepped into a mission that God had put on your wife's heart when she was a little girl? Did you have any clue that God was going to bend your heart like that?
I was astounded. She had never told me the story about how when she was a little girl, she felt called to the Far East. She never mentioned that to me. That's just that kind of person. She just is a very dutiful wife. And so she followed along as a pastor's wife for almost 30 years. We planted a church in Toronto, so we did that too in that time. But just see her kind of light up when I talked to her about, hey, this, I had an interesting query from individual about going to Singapore. And she said, oh, that's just, she was so excited about that. And of course, our ministry in Singapore branched out to be many countries in Asia, so quite a few countries. Well, it was just astounding to me to find that out after being married to her at that point for how many years? 80-something?
80-something.
I never knew that. She never told me that she felt called to be a missionary in the Far East.
Isn't it amazing how God has a way of storing up those prayers and revealing them at the convenient times to Him?
We planted a church in Toronto in the early 80s. 40% of our church was made up of Asians, and most of them were Singaporeans. And then when we went back to Singapore 30 years later, we walked into the seminary office, and the chief administrator of the seminary office was the older sister of one of the guys who was in our church in Toronto. And every time we go back to Singapore, we get to spend time with the people I was their pastor now 35 years ago. Isn't that astounding?
That's a God moment right there.
Yes, absolutely amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
I had a discussion with my oldest daughter a couple of years ago about what to expect when you were out on the mission field. I said, I think you'll find, honey, that when you get there to the cutting edge, there's a rare breed of people that God seems to raise up in every generation that are always out at the edge. And it would be unlikely to miss them the rest of your life. My guess is that you would run into them more than once over the course of those years because they are the vanguard, the people that are called out and are willing to go and end up going places that others say, oh, I could never do that.
Oh, you can do it and watch God bless as you go.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
If I can make a shift here in the storyline, I want to find out more about what it was like to be on the field. You made the decision later in life to become missionaries, and you have decades of pastoral experience, so you, quote-unquote, know what you're doing. Then God drops you into a foreign culture that you don't realize how foreign it really is until you're facing it. And then comes along the kind of spiritual attack to dissuade you from any effective ministry. And I know that the Lord sometimes allows dangerous things to happen to missionaries for His purposes to be fulfilled. And there is a specific story about your experience in a Southeast Asian country that we won't mention for operational security issues, where you served for quite a while, that literally put you in a life and death situation. Can you all just kind of walk through that experience with us and explain to us what came of that event?
Well, I was attacked by Muslim street gangs who were looking for Christians to harm, and they ran me over on motorcycles and grabbed my purse. This was at the same time that they were firebombing churches and people were being killed. And I had some major lacerations and a severe concussion. But it didn't make any difference in my call or Chris's call because we knew that the Lord had called us there. And, I mean, that was it. It didn't change anything. It didn't scare me or anything. And we just knew that the Lord wanted us to continue working there. And that's the word the Lord had called us, so it really didn't change anything.
Now, there's a lot of peace in your voice there, Faith, but I got to suspect that in the moment that there's still a lot of your own personal emotional response coming up. Certainly, as a husband, I can't imagine my wife being attacked by a gang in a foreign country not rising up in me a huge passion for vengeance. That's just my personality. But tell me what you're like, Chris. What did God put you through?
First of all, I did notice that she had the peace of the Lord about her, just an astounding peace that can only be explained by His special presence at that time. But emotionally, it was harder for me. I was within, three or four yards of her when two motorcycles, four guys, ran her over, and it was so fast, it actually happened in a place that it should not have happened. It should have been a very safe location, but I was powerless, and so that created in me a great deal of frustration and anxiety that I was unable to take care of her. Frankly, it took some time for me to get over it. I did see a counselor in a major city in Asia, but the reality was that in, I'd say 4 or 5 months, I was fine. Wouldn't you say that's true, honey? Something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
It took some time for me. It didn't take as much time for her. I would say her physical healing and my emotional healing were about the same length of time.
Right.
So it took her some time to get over some of the pain she had, and she got pretty beaten up.
I'd say the only thing that really affected me was I was a little bit afraid of motorcycles for a while, but that was about it.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about an important step you both took on the mission field that many missionaries or pastors don't ever take, and that is to seek out qualified, God-centered, and well-trained help to deal with the emotional, the spiritual, and the physical trauma caused by one of these events, and being humble enough to say, God, help me through this so I understand your perspective on what happened. Because those things can cripple us the rest of our lives if we don't receive the kind of healing that God has for us.
Well, that's correct. And we sought well-qualified help, a PhD counselor. He helped me work through understanding some of the emotions that were going on, some of the reasons for those emotions, which is kind of what we do with missionaries and pastors right now, by the way, but I needed outside help, and the Lord did provide it.
So is it dangerous out there for missionaries? Do we need to worry about it?
Every day it's more dangerous. You know, we just returned from Asia, from the same country where Faith was attacked. We heard some pretty frightening stories while we were there, and we saw evidence of further danger. Several pastors in the area have been kidnapped and presumed killed. There are anti-Christian rallies going on in stadiums. One pastor told us of being followed around by police through a cell phone, the GPS and the cell phone, and another told us of being video recorded in church by police. So it's not safe out there. It's not safe. But if the Lord calls you, you know, he's going to either protect you in one way or another. And what I mean by that is he'll either isolate you so you're not attacked, or if you are attacked, he will present to you the help you need. I had a good counselor in faith, found really good medical help pretty quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't want that confession there, which is an important one to make, to be the thing that unravels people's ambitions to be missionaries.
I mean, no, I understand.
We don't want to dissuade people from following through on the calling that God has on their lives.
But I think it's important to note that there are real dangers on the field, mm-hmm. on the mission mm-hmm. field.
And oh, definitely.
It's mm-hmm. wisdom to consider those things when you're
right.
praying about what the Lord is leading you to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after the attack then, and you sought the counseling that you needed, Chris, and medical help for Faith, what was the conversation like between the two of you in continuing on the mission field and what you were doing in Asia? And how did that affect your willingness to travel places that were maybe not as safe as what you had hoped, and the decision-making that you went through together to continue your mission there?
It didn't really affect us at all. We're just more careful where we go now, and we're more aware of the dangers, and we are wiser mm-hmm. now, but it doesn't limit our travel. We still travel all over Asia, and we still travel places where the Lord tells us to go. So I think we are aware of things that we weren't before.
We do frequently depend on local help if we're in a new country. We try to make certain that happens. Like people say, do we need to meet you at the airport? We say, yes, you need to meet us at the airport. And there's a background with that. Once in Russia, I had some difficulty quite a few years ago. So we're more careful in those areas. We're even going into new countries. We were in, I can mention this country, Myanmar, which was close to missionaries until recently, and it still can be quite a dangerous place, but we were in Myanmar for several weeks and had a very good ministry there. I know this is simplistic, but if you know the Lord's calling, you just do it and trust Him to take care of it. We got to be careful. We got to be good stewards of where we are, but we've not allowed that to affect us in our travels.
I think of Canon Andrew White's maxim that he always tells young, ambitious missionaries from all of his experience dealing with all the sectarian violence in Iraq over the years.
Yes.
When you pray for opportunity here, don't wish people to take care. Take risks, because God is found in the risks, not in the falling away from the challenge.
Right.
The incredible blessings we have seen in places that we might not have gone to had we been looking to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I wouldn't trade that for a second. What I'm saying is we got friends all over the world, and they're wonderful friends, and we've really seen a great blessing in our ministry and what we've been doing, and I don't think we trade that for anything.
Even, no, of course not.
Even the new friends we made in Myanmar, as an mm-hmm. example, so, because that was our first time in Myanmar.
So the attack that you experienced directly was a pretty important event. It's not the defining event of your lives by any means. You already had made the decision that you were willing to lay down your lives if that's what God required.
Of course,
and,
yes.
But then, of course, you're faced with the visceral expression of that. This really could have been it. Something could have gone sideways, and one of us or both of us could be dead.
Correct. Yeah.
And home free, of course, but nonetheless, your ministry on earth would have ended. We're going to take a break now in this conversation, because there's much more to talk about, and I want to carry this over one more day. So, Faith and Chris Creech, thank you so much for sharing your mission and your missional lives with us on Compassion Radio.
Thanks, Bram. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478. 2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.